a new day. Yes, it is.
For 12 Pack Radio. Get excited, y'all.
Welcome back, everyone, to 12 Pack Radio, where all your dreams come true. This is Brian Conger. Thank you for joining us. It is. We are in bowl season. We're in bowl season. We also realize that the recordings of these like video podcasts start like a minute before Rob hits play for reasons still unknown to us. So
yeah,
the hot mic, right? That's what politicians always get in trouble for. So if you were tuning in beforehand, you already heard me complaining about betting on bowls. It's always a bad idea. Like never a good idea to bet on bowls, particularly now with the transfer portal. I'm Brian Conger. He's Rob Bowron. We're a Sharp College Football podcast. And Rob, should we tell people what we're doing? Like given that or should we just wait till the end of the season and before we tell them, like, you know, actually I died and I am like whatever they do at the end of the soap operas.
Oh yeah, like but everybody comes, no one really ever dies in a soap opera.
That's very true.
Yeah, I mean, we might as well. Yeah, I mean, sounds good.
Yeah, all right. We're doing Big Ten football. We're gonna move to the Big Ten, and it makes me sad
because
the Big 12 is clearly the hipster conference, which is where my heart is at. At the same time, there's a lot of freaking people that like happen to like Ohio State football and Penn State football, and I'm looking forward to making them all mad at us. Like that's
well, and we both live in Big Ten country.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that was so dumb. Right. Yeah,
I live in Columbus, Ohio. you live just outside Portland, right?
Like, yeah,
two Big Ten towns.
Yeah, you heavy Big Ten influence. Lots of cheese curds here in the Portland metro area. So we're gonna do that, and we're gonna still ride with the Bulls, but it's really difficult. Look. I'm not going to lie. This last year, not my best picks, probably because I didn't watch as many games as I normally have, but it's tough to watch more than one conference and really be attuned. And like, I learned that lesson this year where work really got in. I mean, obviously not in the way because it is work, right? That's how we make our living. But
work got in the way of my hobby. Yeah,
my passion project. But I think the thing being like in the last 4 years, right, in the suicide pools, I'm like, oh, Cal's going to beat UCLA. I've watched every single Cal game and UCLA is dumb. And this is, and I just didn't have that feel for it this year because I think some of the games were just a little bit more difficult to watch or just like stuff got in the way. So we're doing Big Ten next year because I just feel like focusing on one conference and really digging in and just kind of knowing that conference and speaking with authority is something that I missed this year where I really didn't pay attention, but it wasn't at the level that I really would like to. And really starting over the Big Ten and getting a feel for those teams. The bummer is like we're going to have to learn jokes and nobody's going to get our jokes and we're just going to have to kind of wade our way through that process. But that's where we're going to be. So if you're a Big Ten fan or if you're, you know, the Oregon or the LA schools, don't worry, USC. We're still going to make fun of you over and over and over again. And hopefully you figure it out at some point who's the Kansas State the quarterback going to be? The
Will Howard? Oh, football? Man. I mean, we can talk about that today.
Holy smokes. I mean, good times. I am going to enjoy just dumping all over the LA schools as they like. You know, as they have their fever dream for through the first 3 years of the Big Ten,
the great exodus of quarterbacks out of LA.
Holy smokes. Yes, but that's what we're doing. Sharpcollegefootball.com, by the way, for all your stuff. And you can follow us on Twitter at Pac-12 Radio, which we got to figure out.
Will be some other name. TBD.
Gonna have to go on to like Fiverr and ask for another logo. With all that, you know, throat clearing, Rob, let's do coaching and transfer portal news. I think that's probably where we should start. A lot of news coming out, particularly about the quarterbacks. You know, we had Will Howard, the Mississippi State. Wait, hold on.
He's from Kansas State. You're thinking of Will Rogers.
Thank you. Will Rogers has committed to the University of Washington, which. I saw, it's weird because I saw like mixed reviews about that. And I'm not worried. I think Kalen DeBoer is just a wizard.
Yeah.
And yes, you had Penix like tossing just straight up bombs on people all over the field. You're not going to get that with what they're bringing in now. But I do think somebody that can handle the offense, and I just think Kalen DeBoer is like, it's like in college basketball where like some of the real good gamblers will say you actually bet on the coach and the program and the culture because the players come and go, but yeah. It's what the, or like whatever the system is and whatever the coach, like the reason Bill Self is awesome is because Bill Self adapts to whatever team he has. And he's, yes, he has a system, but he's able to make changes. I just put Kalen DeBoer in that camp where somebody that's extremely adaptable, that's won everywhere he's gone, that's going to put a system together around him. I don't know. What did you think about the announcement there?
I mean, I think really though, if you're a Washington, I mean, like this definitely feels like one of those years where somebody's been like, you know, DeBoer landed on some guys that were ready to have some significantly better coaching, and he developed them over 2 years, right? But it also feels like, I mean, like some of these guys are going to be gone, you know, not just Penix. I mean, some of the other guys are going to be gone. And this Washington team, I don't think is going to be, you know, I don't think is going to be. They're going to take a little bit. I mean, they might take a bit of a step back next year. And I think Will Rogers fits that perfectly in the sense of like, you're not, you know, like he's going to come in, he's going to be more competent than, you know, like he's got a ton of experience. He doesn't have a big arm. And he definitely can make some questionable decisions, but I think this is going to be a better offense than he played in this past year for sure. And I think even, it's an even better offense than, you know, Leach was running. He's like, so you get somebody in as like a short-term rental to fill in as a placeholder until they really get, I mean, they have to get a quarterback though. I mean, like this doesn't, I mean, it is interesting too, because I think within college football, and it is interesting that like they couldn't develop Morris and didn't really have a pipeline set up, right? Quarterback wise. But this isn't like when Nix and Penix transferred, right? And it was like there was a little treasure chest of rich QB riches in the portal, right? Like, I mean, Will Howard might go to USC. And so, I mean, I think Washington getting in there and getting one of the more experienced signal callers out there, you know, I think certainly can come in and play pretty and should be able to play pretty well to be able to bridge them over as they try to develop their next crop of players, I think is a really smart move by them. And I think it's a solid move. And also, I heard Cam Ward was looking for like $2 million. I heard that's what he asked. Because if you're Washington getting in, like the and we'll talk about this with everybody else needing a quarterback. I mean, it feels like musical chairs, right? Like Ohio State needs a quarterback. I mean, both Devin Brown and Kyle McCord transferred. You know, like USC needs a quarterback. Miami needs a quarterback. You know, like, there are people think Jordan Travis might just go pro at Florida State. So Florida State needs a quarterback. Everybody needs a QB. So, you know, like to be able to get somebody and not find yourself sitting without a chair while you look for the Mr. Perfect quarterback who is not in the portal, just FYI.
No.
It feels like a really smart move for Washington. I think this works. I mean, this probably takes this Washington team, and if the defense takes another step forward, puts them at like a 9-10 win season next year, which should feel really good about it going into the Big Ten.
This feels like the year, it's like a bad NBA draft, right? Where everybody needs a point guard and there are no point guards to be had. Like, yeah, it is rough. And I mean, like, I think you're right with Will Rogers. I'm interested to see, you're right, DeBoer got some pieces,
yeah.
Right? I mean, like a good example is like Puka Nacua got buried at Washington, which is unacceptable,
right?
With what he's doing in the NFL. And then you look at the three wide receivers, McMillan, Polk, and Adunze, and those guys were buried for a couple of years, like behind. I mean, where we talked about this, we're like, why are all these like crappy three-star wide receivers? And it was like, okay, maybe the ratings were wrong. No, the ratings were not wrong.
Right.
The offense was wrong. The incompetence was
maybe the problem. They were really committed blockers. like for the run the ball.
Yeah, that's right. I'm like, what's so stupid? And but I'm interested to see how Washington recruits moving forward. What DeBoer has been able to do, like at Fresno State, turning really a rough team into something that was really impressive, and then moving over to Washington and turning a team that was already recruited. I want to see what he's able to do on the recruitment front. And it highlights, Rob, the importance of developing a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
You just mentioned all these teams that are in the need of a quarterback. You go, all right, y'all had like a bunch of four and five star guys and weren't able to, I mean, like across the board. That's really interesting. The fact that Ohio State has multiple four or five star quarterbacks, they weren't that good. Miami, like, you know, had Tyler Van Dyke, wasn't able to figure out what to do. Washington behind Penix, nothing great.
Yeah.
USC, Malachi Nelson, who he's gone. And what was interesting on that front was that the reports were the USC wasn't really all that impressed with him.
Yeah.
Well, like something's broken, and maybe it was the COVID year and just like the recruiting services on the quarterback side just kind of petered out. But holy goodness, it's really rough out there.
The best player of that quarterback class is Noah Fifita. he has had the best play thus far out of anyone in that quarterback class. That wasn't me. The Athletic wrote a whole article revisiting that QB class, and they went through the top like 25 quarterbacks, and it's all a bunch of like, well, this didn't work out as we thought it would. And then they're like, who else was in the class? And they're like, you know, who's probably had the best time so far is Noah Fifita.
It's crazy, man.
It is, but it leaves you at like, I mean, right now, Washington, I mean, and you hit on a really good point with DeBoer, and probably the biggest question mark going forward for DeBoer. And look, I mean, Washington fans are going to point to, you know, the development that DeBoer has. And that's true. Development gets you so far, though, right? Like, I mean, Nick Saban also develops players. Kirby Smart also develops players. We have talked about this on this podcast, right? Like, you know what works the best? Like recruiting really well and developing players, right? Like that turns out to be the superior formula. Washington's sitting at 30 right now overall in the recruiting rankings. That's rough. I mean, they've got a handful of four stars, you know, recruited in, you know, national signing day. The first signing day is like 3 days away from when we're recording this. And like, they didn't recruit that well last year. That to me is the, like, because DeBoer has had the advantage of having some pretty good players, right? Like, now he also developed them, right? Like, I mean, this isn't like DeBoer just stumbled onto a roster and just like, oh, wow, like turns out like these guys all work together, right? Like he clearly turned these guys into something that they were not before. But I think for Washington, if you really want to get out there and compete, and you're going to have to next season, you know, with Ohio State, which is a recruiting juggernaut, and, you know, Michigan, who recruits pretty well, Penn State, who recruits pretty well, you know, as well as, I mean, like there are teams in the Big Ten that, I mean, the Big Ten's been mostly bad, but Maryland's been getting better, right? I mean, like if you're Washington, like, you know, like you have to, that's my main concern for DeBoer and the staff is like, it doesn't feel like that they internalized how important recruiting is. And this is coming from somebody that's like, I feel like I constantly remind people that like recruiting is not everything. And I will argue that to people that are like, you know, stars are all that matter. That's wrong, but stars do actually matter. And like, that's like this class, like they've got a QB in here, like a four-star QB. It feels like it's got to work out. Now that you can say that about a lot of places right now, like it's this one particular quarterback's got to work out. But I think that they have to figure something, like Washington has to figure something out on the recruiting trail. And if DeBoer, even if he likes the way his staff develops and they coach, he might have to shake things up and go get somebody that can recruit, you know, get some position coaches that can recruit better. Because as it is right now, like you are not hanging with, like, 2 years from now, if Washington has four recruiting classes ranked where these ones have been, you're not playing with Ohio State. You're not. You know, like, and if Ryan Day doesn't turn around, like, they will, Ohio State will go hire somebody else and they'll hire the best coach that money can buy. Right. Like, right. I mean, and Dan Lanning, you know, like, Washington had their number this year, but Lanning is not messing around on the recruiting trail. Right. Like, and he's got some pretty good coaches too. Right. Like 4 years or 2 years from now, if you have four classes like this, you're gonna have a hard time hanging with those guys.
Other news on the quarterback front, Dante Moore, it's looking like, I didn't see the official announcement that he's going to Oregon. I saw it's pretty likely that he's going to Oregon. Dude, that guy sucked this year. He just did. He was really bad. And like, maybe, you know, maybe he turns it around. But you know who also sucked? Ty Thompson. And he's gone too. So we're talking about like five-star quarterbacks that just couldn't put it together.
I mean, I feel like with Dante Moore, I mean, like, not everybody has it. Like, not everybody is Caleb Williams, right? Like, sometimes guys like mature. And I feel like Dante Moore clearly wasn't the problem with Chip Kelly's offense this season. Like, I feel sort of sorry, as bad as it got. But Oregon, I mean, you got to feel like Oregon did pretty well out of the transfer portal here. You know, landing, you know, Oklahoma's quarterback and then landing Dante Moore, you know, to potentially develop and back up, as well as like anybody else that they've signed. I mean, like, Oregon came into this definitely with a decent plan and appears to have got it done. And the fact that Dante Moore is not going back to Michigan or Michigan State, where he's from, is, you know, like, that's remarkable. He's staying out on the West Coast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was kind of mocking the Dante Moore, like, but the fact that he'll have an extra year, right, as Dylan Gabriel does whatever he does, like, it's a good plan. They trade him for Ty Thompson, basically, and we'll see how that works out. Other news on this end, you know, again, Malachi Nelson has hit the transfer portal. I know he was injured a little bit earlier this year, but the fact that there was just no buzz at all about him, I don't know if that's Lincoln Riley or Malachi Nelson. We will find out.
They said he had some injuries this year too. But I mean, as soon as they announced that Caleb Williams wasn't playing in the bowl, it was, you know, like, it's not going to be Malachi Nelson. And you're oh no.
Yeah. Like,
it's Miller Moss time. And look, I mean, if I had some USC fans, I mean, look, if the guy's not the guy, like, it's not going to help if he sticks around or not. But I've definitely had some USC fans that are like, oh, you know, like, I trust Lincoln Riley. And I'm like, yes.
With what?
Will Howard is not what you think he is. Right. Like, and he, now Kansas State is really excited about a young QB. So Will Howard might've got bumped out. You know, anyway, but I mean, I said, if you're going to run QB power 20 times a game, Will Howard is your man. If you are going to expect him to use his arm to run Lincoln Riley's offense, that's a problem.
Yeah. Oh, I like, and look, Riley has had a pretty good track record, obviously, and has been very creative on the offensive side. But this year has been, I mean, just the fact that, you say what you want about those wide receivers, I don't think they were as talented as people thought they were, but they produced elsewhere, and he could not figure out a way to get that offense to function with Caleb Williams. And now he brings in Will Howard, who, like you're saying, is a totally different offense. I mean, they're going to have to buy an offensive line, basically, right, in order for him to be good. I'm interested to see what happens there. I'm looking elsewhere. So Walter Taylor going to Colorado, Destin Wade, a four-star Kentucky transfer. I mean, to be fair, Colorado has done actually fairly well on the transfer portal side, and they also signed a really solid offensive tackle, which is interesting. Because obviously that program ended on a bad note this past year, and bringing in, I mean, like, actual quarterback depth. I mean, I understand why nobody wanted to transfer there last year, right? Hey, here's my son. He's starting, and that's the end of the story. Who wants to do that? Now they got a couple people that they can stack behind him. I think both prime figured out and quarterbacks figured out that, hey, I might get some playing time and an offense that's going to get attention. and Deion Sanders basically realized, hey, I have to have somebody behind have some
depth.
Sanders. Because,
I mean, you got to have some depth. I think Colorado's actually done fairly well, to your point, right? Like they've gone into the portal and gotten some guys. I mean, truthfully, like parts of that team could not get any worse, right? The offensive line, large parts of the defense, the run defense in particular. You know, like there's still some really, really talented players, you know, on the, you know, offensive skill position players there. I thought they did pretty well. I mean, these are guys though that are, that came in. I mean, you know, the Kentucky transfer, you know, this is a guy that's clearly not going to get the start at Kentucky. And so saw the writing on the wall and went looking for some, you know, an opportunity to potentially get some more playing time. I mean, there's going to be some interest. I mean, like, I think guys like, I'm really interested to see where guys like Ty Thompson land, right? Just because it is such a wild portal out there right now with everybody needing a QB and not a, and like, I mean, but the other part is too, and I was thinking about this, is like, if you have a starting QB right now that you think you have a starting QB, man, somebody, whoever his representative or agent is getting inundated with offers for them to enter the portal, because if Ohio State and USC and that's where it gets to be like, and look, I mean, like, I can't, like, other than maybe Fifita at Arizona, I can't think of anybody else in the Pac-12. Like, I don't think Cam Rising's leaving Utah. But if you have an established quarterback, and like we said, like, there's a limited number of teams that have that at the moment, they're probably getting like significant offers to move, right? That's how crazy it is out there right now. But like the talent is just so, can you remember a year like this where you're just like, it felt like this year we're coming in and it's like, oh man, it's amazing. And then you look around the country and you're like, oh, well, there's Carson Beck at Georgia. And then, right? and then you go for a bit before you start to think of like, oh, who's next, right?
Oh, Lord. So, yeah, and just going down the Pac-12, right? Will Howard and question mark at UCLA. The Northern California schools suck.
Yeah, nobody's going for either of those guys.
It's musical chairs at ASU and then Fafita.
Right.
Utah, the pig farmer, and Nate Johnson transferred. So, I mean, Cam Rising is clearly like at the time.
Right. Both of those guys are clearly, like, Nate Johnson probably ruined his chances of becoming the starter for this year. So,
oh yeah, yeah. I mean, he's going to Vanderbilt, which, you know, good for Vandy. Like that's a good spot for him. I mean, Dylan Gabriel is flawed,
right?
And I mean, Washington getting I could say Will Smith. I keep forgetting the guy's
Will
name.
Will Rogers,
Will Rogers. I mean, it's Colorado, Arizona, and Utah have the best quarterbacks in the Pac-12 probably next year, right? I mean, like, how good is Dylan Gabriel? Where would you rank Gabriel in the conference?
I mean, so I would put, oh man, I mean, it's hard. Like, so the Utah offense with Rising, but like, they also need some pass catchers, which they didn't have this year. And so you're assuming the tight ends.
They never have pass catchers.
I know. They have tight ends. They have tight ends. They had tight ends and a Britton Covey at one point. Yeah. But like, I really like Rising. I think Fafita's better. I think Fafita's just got better arm talent. I think he's got a better surrounding cast around him. With McMillan, I think he probably has a better year than Rising next year. I mean, like that, I think Rising's definitely number two. And then it's Gabriel, you know, no, that's wrong. It's Sanders. Like, I'm sorry, but Sanders is I forgot about him. Sanders is your most talented QB. He may not have the biggest year, but he is clearly your most talented QB.
That's true. And he can move. Like, if you put Sanders in Arizona's in front of Arizona's offensive line, like, he would kill.
Oh yeah, you give him Arizona's receivers and offensive line, and he is having an enormous year. I mean, and people knock him too much, like, because they look at the overall offensive performance. Like, he's likely a first round pick.
He's really good. Like, Him running around with his, like, you know, just for his life, and then just gunning the ball down the field all the time. It's great.
So I do Sanders, Fafita, Rising, I mean, geez, if you were to do the Big 12 ones, actually, you'd throw in the Ohio State or Iowa State quarterback, like who's kind of a smaller dude but can sling it. But then you do Gabriel, and then Will Rogers, big question marks.
Which is fine. That's like a B, right? Like across the board B, if you were to rate those five quarterbacks. And I mean, certainly some schools would absolutely take their quarterback over what they've had in the past. And some schools are kind of like, yeah, he's a placeholder. But yeah, it's a weird transition year for teams all across the country. Where do you think Ty Thompson ends up? Like the type of school?
I think he's Mountain West bound.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you? I think so too. Even as desperate as people are for QBs, and they are, I mean, to the point where like DJU, who again has his moments, but also has his other moments, is like one of the big names. And like he went and visited Florida State.
That crazy? That's so crazy that he's like one of the top two quarterbacks right now. And look, like he was fine. Right. I mean, we covered him all year. We're like, yeah, good for him at Oregon State. But it wasn't like, wow, DJU has transformed the Oregon State offense. It was like,
lot better with him. He gave them something that they didn't have. I think it would be interesting to see him with competent play calling and wide receivers that are taller than 5'9". I think he can look even better then, but I do think he has a ceiling. Cam Ward asking Ohio State for $2 million is the rumor. I mean, that's nuts. Like Cam Ward, there are times when I'm not sure Cam Ward was watching the same game I was,
throw it on the table, man. Just throw it on that table.
I like Cam Ward. I think he's improved. I think he's gotten better. I think he would also benefit from a better surrounding cast and maybe a better play caller. But I mean, the fact that like those guys are your big names in the portal, I mean, it's rough out there. But I mean, that said, like, so that could lead you to a Ty Thompson staying within the Power Five, right? But that feels, I mean, and that, but that almost, I mean, because like, yeah, what we saw wasn't always great. That's true. But it's just, it feels odd though, because like it's not like he has a bunch of really, really bad tape. Like Nate Johnson throwing the football tape. There was some bad Nate Johnson throwing the football tape. Ty Thompson doesn't wow you, but he doesn't have like really, really, really bad stuff. And for that, like, I mean, Tyler Shuck, like he ended up at Texas Tech. I mean, like, given the paucity of top signal callers, I could see it. But like in a normal year, you'd be like, Ty Thompson, Fresno State starting quarterback. And he goes and lights it up or something, right? Like, I mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Jake Haner transferred. And like, what was Jake Haner? Well, you're like, woo. Right?
Like. There's just so many Jakes to pick at. You're like, you got lost amongst
all of the Jakes.
it's like having three redheaded kids, like a teacher, and they're all like the same height. He's like, I don't know. One of you is a troublemaker. I don't remember which one it is.
you could see him ending up somewhere just because of the kind of year it is for quarterbacks. And I think that's. But I mean, Ty Thompson, future Nevada starting quarterback, right? Like that feels right.
Yeah. Like I'm curious to see what Washington State does because they are like the real sad part is, right? USC continues its practice of rating everybody else in the conference's teams and then burying them on the depth chart or making them look foolish for their decisions. And that's happening with Oregon State this year. And look, I mean, I think they're going to have a much more competent defense with the hire, you know, obviously the switch of the defensive coordinator, but they went and basically rated Oregon State. You saw an exodus of players out of that program. Some of them to Michigan State, some of them to USC. And I just really do fear for Oregon State in the future of that football program because it's bad right now. And on the other side, Washington State too, like didn't have a great team this year and they don't have a starting quarterback. No. They're running back. They could not run the ball at all. And they got that 4-star kid and he sucked. Obviously the Wisconsin transfer was the guy that was running the majority of but like you could tell they didn't trust who was behind him. And their offensive line was bad. And you go, holy smokes, what is going to happen to that program?
Ty Thompson.
Which is the savior. He's a five-star.
Dylan Moore. I mean, like, those guys probably should take that shot, right? Like, but it is like it.
Dylan Morris makes sense. That actually is a good.
It
call.
Feels like it just has to feel like despair. I mean, I like to our Coug friends and Beef friends out there. Like, I feel for you so much. Like, this sucks. Yeah. Like,
run the Mountain West, baby. Just run it up. Keep that money and run the Mountain West. All right. Anything else in the transfer portal?
Demonte Jackson entered the transfer portal too. Like, yeah. I mean,
he's going to Georgia, right?
Dante Williams.
They picked up.
I mean, USC just. I think the defensive staff hires that they've made are really competent. Like, they look really good, right? Like, I'm like, oh, this feels like a really, like, there's not a lot of, there's less sizzle with this defensive staff, like, recruiting wise. But they definitely feel like a step up in overall competence. But the offense took a step back this year. I mean, they were, and that was with Caleb Williams again. And, I really have questions about what Lincoln Riley's going to do next year offensively. Like, I think the defense could get a lot better. And at the same time, I think this offense could be pretty mediocre.
It would be so funny to see him Cliff Kingsbury it, right? Like, go 7-6 and then get another NFL job. Like, that just seems like
the head coach of the Chargers or something.
Written in the cards. Yeah. Oh, and the hate from Oklahoma fans is just hysterical when you're just taking a look at the news and like the memes that they're sending.
Mario Williams enter the transfer portal too? I mean, like, he barely made a dent at USC at all. Which is astounding considering how utterly mediocre the wide receivers were this year. Right. Yeah. And he was good at Oklahoma. And just could not. Dorian Singer, like, come home. I mean, like,
that's where I think it's coaching, right? I mean, like, you have players that had been decent, if not excellent, at their schools, and they went to USC. And on the offensive side, really surprised me. The defensive side, I kind of expected some of that. And I mean, I gave the chance, like, all right, maybe Barry Alexander puts it together, and maybe Mason Cobb figures it out. But like, the fact that whenever you have a team that's like, oh yeah, like this basketball player is going to be our tight end, and he's really the crux of this, the cornerstone of the defense. You go, oh Lord Almighty, this is really bad. And that was basically the case with the transfer from ASU. But all right, let's move on from the transfer portal, unless you have anything else to mention.
No, that's it.
All right, we're gonna get to games, and like, the Pac-12 actually did pretty well in their bowl games. We'll get to those right after this. Okay, we're back. You can tell we're back, and we switched because my internet's doing better because I'm not on Super West Sports anymore. That has like 17,000 video banner ads going as there, but they have a great transfer portal tracker. But you can tell. And so, Rob, we had two bowl games happen. We don't have to cover these too closely, but UCLA beat Boise State. I should say Colin Schley and Ethan Garbers beat Boise State 35-22. These games are so bonkers. Like, J. Michael Sertivan showed up for like a day, right? He had
four receptions for 142 yards. Like, he had four catches, made them all count.
he did the nice boyfriend, like, that dated somebody for like a couple months and met the parents and then left. And like, what happened to that nice man, J. Michael Sertivan? Oh, mom, don't worry about it. Like, he's gone. Like, I feel like that's going to be the story with him. I was really glad that he got his in this game, obviously transferring from Cal and just being a really impressive player that also got buried behind a garbage offense and a garbage quarterback. Cal was the one that was surprising. They lose. Anything about UCLA?
What was interesting about this game is UCLA couldn't stop the run in the first half, and they couldn't get anything going offensively. And they came out in the second half and completely shut down the run. Whatever adjustments they made or getting yelled at in the locker room about not stopping the run worked. And then, you know, like, Schley got hurt and Garbers came in and Garbers balled out. Like, Garbers all of a sudden, like, the offense totally, like, Garbers could not miss. Like, he was totally, totally changes the offense, and you're like, I have, and looked nothing like, looked entirely like nothing like the UCLA offense has looked all season. It was the best they have looked all year.
Oh my gosh, he did like a Will Ferrell in Old School where he just blacks out.
Yeah,
know, like in the middle of the spelling bee or whatever was the math contest. Well, good for him. You know, like UCLA 8-5. That sounds about right. Like you're gonna just look every year, and it's gonna be 8-5, 8-5, 8-5, 8-5. I'm just convinced of that now. And Boise, like I think there was one point where the coach mouth like they don't care. Like they don't even want to be here. Let's go. And I'm wondering if that was displayed in at
halftime. Yeah, like they don't care. Like, yeah, yeah.
That was the Starco Brands Los Angeles Bowl
presented by Gronk.
The rating, God, I love it. I appreciated that. Good God, good for him. Signing the Coors Lights cans at the Arizona like sideline is just the just good for you. Just keep doing that, Gronk. Cal 14, Texas Tech 34. I was surprised about this. Because this is the Cal game. This is the game Cal wins. This is what Justin Wilcox does. Yeah. And Fernando Mendoza, three picks. You know, they kind of really, you know, even though Brooks had like almost 100 yards, it took like 22 carries for him to get there. And, you know, Texas Tech has like basically the coked up high school coach.
Yeah.
So maybe the motivation factor there actually helped here. I don't know. What did you think?
There's two things that define this game. One, Cal had four turnovers, including the three picks. Like, turns out hard to win football games when you're minus two on turnovers and turn it over in total four times. The other one is Tim DeReuter and that Texas Tech defense totally shut down Cal's run game. Like, just Ott had a hell of a day out there. That, I mean, 16 carries for only 46 yards. I mean, they basically dared Cal to beat them through the air, and well, Cal could not. You know, and then Cal's defense, which had played a bit better at times this season, but still is not in the range where you would consider them good. Some of it was they got, you know, hurt with some bad field position, you know, in the game, but they weren't great. You know, I mean, they gave up 24 first downs. Cal only had 15 first downs. You know, and they Texas Tech struggled to run the football as well, but they got enough in the air with a guy that's like what, their third string quarterback or something. You know, like that's what I think probably has to feel really rough for Cal is like, you went out and lost to like a pretty mid tier Big 12 team playing their like third string quarterback.
Yeah. And my apologies to the two Cal fans that listen. I got my Brooks mixed up, right? I'm thinking Carlos Brooks, who has already transferred out of the program. So I was looking at the Texas Tech Brook, not Jaden Ott. You know, looking forward, look, but don't bet on bowls. I made that mistake this week. What am I doing?
Somebody was doing the traditional thing where it's like, oh man, like the Pac-12 has been overrated all season, and we're seeing that in this bowl. And I'm like, No, we don't do that anymore because I don't even know who's coaching in this bowl game, let alone playing in this bowl game. I mean, I do, but it's also like impossible. Like these are fundamentally very often not the same teams. Now Cal mostly was, which is pretty embarrassing for Cal.
Yeah, no, that was what I was like, oh,
Cal mostly was the same team. Now clearly UCLA was not, and they ended up winning. But like, I mean, Boise State also had like a hack together coaching staff too, because they fired their coach in the middle of the season, right? Like, I just think this is, it is so dumb. Like, I mean, the only, and I downweight like within beta rank, and I think I'm the only one that does this. Like, the only games that count full weight are the playoff games. Everything else is like 10% because I don't know who's playing. Right. I mean, like the canonical one I always look back at is like that one where like, was it, Kansas State just waxed LSU in like a COVID bowl. I mean, just waxed them. Like, I think LSU only had like 40 players that could like dress for the game because of like,
I bet heavily on that.
I was opt outs and transfers and COVID and everything. And I was like, we're not counting these anymore. Like this is not good information. This is bad data and I don't want a part of it.
Do you know who is starting in the Las Vegas Bowl, the pig farmer himself, Bryson Barnes,
huzzah,
will be the starting quarterback for Utah. I was curious about that because obviously Nate Johnson left.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering to see like, and I know Barnes is transferring too, or he put himself in the portal, and I would too, after not getting a scholarship after like starting basically for right. 2 years for this program, or at least maybe not starting, but starting multiple games as the backup, even though you're the walk-on. I didn't kill that as much on the show, cause maybe in the background they gave him some, you know, attaboy scholarship that wasn't like a football scholarship, but I thought it was crazy. But yeah, he is starting in this game, which makes it a little bit more competitive on my end, because if they didn't have a starting quarterback, Utah, I was pretty worried about this. They play Northwestern. I'm surprised Northwestern made a bowl. Like, this was a team that was supposed to be like rock bottom this year, and they really did a good job. I think they had the interim coach. Who was the interim? It wasn't Spurrier, but it was one of like
trying to remember, Nate.
The kids of like the good
coaches. And but he ended up getting the full time job.
Oh well, good for him. I mean, like, you know, what are you going to do at Northwestern anyway? So good for him. You know, this game's on ABC. It's on the 23rd.
Oh, it's David Braun. Anything, he was their defensive coordinator.
Oh, I'm thinking of somebody else that was like the placeholder there. But anyway. Are you going to watch this game?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, I'll like, it's one of those ones where you're like, I'll have it on while I'm doing something, right? Like that's what bowl season's for, right? Like
you answered that question. Like I asked you if you wanted a corn dog.
Yeah, sure. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, man.
Who turns down a corn dog, right? Like, yeah, that's
right. I don't not want one.
Right? Like, I mean, it's fun. Like Batarang had this about 9 in the naive spread, and it opened at about 9.
That is a question that I.
But like the
6.5.
But the predicted score is by Utah by a lot more. But I'm not sure. I mean, like, is Jonah Ellis going to play in this game? I mean, like, so Utah's offense. Is it, you know, 45 overall? They get a Northwestern defense that's at 50 overall. And so like they should that's a big enough. I mean, that's like offensively, they should be able to put up some points in this game. I mean, their best advantage is like, look, this Utah defense fell off significantly down the back half of the year. And a lot of that was injuries, to be frank, but they get a Northwestern offense that isn't really that good. They're at 67 overall in Batarang. Utah's defense is at 19 overall. I like Utah's defense. I mean, in particular, like Northwestern really struggles to avoid 3-and-outs and turnovers, and Utah causes a lot of those. I like Utah in this game. I mean, like, I like Utah to win unless they turn the ball. Don't turn the ball over 4 times like Cal. But I do expect, like, you know, Northwestern does have a decent defense. They should have a pretty good game plan there. But I think Utah's got a better defense, and they should have a really good game plan to slow down this Northwestern offense.
If you were a coach and you're like, yeah, we had an okay season, and you go to Vegas or you go to like Myrtle Beach or something, I think I'm the cool sub. If I'm the head coach, I'm like, hey guys, like go watch some videos. I'm going to go to like drink at the beach. Like, you know, y'all like Carmen San Diego. Here you go. You know? Yeah.
Everybody get out your laptops and, I don't know, man, like pretend to take some notes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's definitely like a bunch of like bold dumbness, you know, of like, oh, we're gonna have like a corn dog eating contest or something like that, right? And like, you know, that stuff's fun, and you get a free trip, I guess, like out of it. But it's definitely, I mean, like the Vegas Bowl still. I mean, you get to go to Vegas, right? And like, it's a short trip for Utah, and it's an easy flight for Northwestern out of Chicago. So like, I mean, fun all around for everyone. And it's in the Raiders Stadium now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah.
One of the things that's interesting is, like, you know, people make the jokes about Utah going to Vegas. Utah loves Vegas. Like, make no mistake. Like, Vegas thrives on BYU and Utah getting out to Vegas. Next bowl up here, Wednesday, December 27th. Louisville is a 7.5-point favorite against USC. This line, Rob, I think it opened at like 6.5 or 7 and bumped up to 7.5. It has not moved which is fascinating because I think USC is just does not care. I think that team has just fallen apart and is on quit watch. But who knows?
Yeah. So Bader Inc. has this in the naive spread at 6.5. And it is, but it's like the projected score is 42 to 32. So it's an even larger spread. And I feel pretty good about that actually coming into this. You know, like Louisville's offense is decent. They're at 38 overall in Bader Inc. They run the ball better than they throw it. 28 in effective rush versus 41 in effective pass. But USC's defense is, of course, terrible, and they're awful defending the run. They're at 99 in effective rush. And you flip it around, and like you really need, if you're USC, you really need the offense to be quite good, but there's no Caleb Williams. This Louisville defense is good. They're number 10 overall in Bader Inc. And they're good defending the run, and they're pretty good against the pass. Number 8 in effective rush versus 16 in effective pass. I just don't. In any way, I mean, look, some of these Louisville numbers are probably a little inflated by getting Florida State's third string quarterback. I can't even remember that guy's name. He's already a blur to me. In that ACC championship game,
you're talking about the national championship,
national champions, Florida State, future, Georgia, future UCF national. But they, yeah, this is a horrendous matchup for USC in this game. Like Louisville, if they in any way care about this game, might blow the doors off USC and like really, yeah, really put an extra sour note on what has been a very, like, since it's funny. Cause like, I felt like with the Danton Linhire, you're like, oh, there's some positive news and some momentum maybe. And it has been just relentlessly down since then.
Yeah. Yeah, like Miller Moss sucks. Like, if you have not watched USC, Miller Moss is very, very not
USC. What's going to be funny is like Miller Moss is going to go out and have like the most bonkers lights out game of his life. And and his dad's going to find this podcast and just like we're just write like the nastiest comments to us about this. But it's justified by how he's played up to this point.
I hope they show this at, you know, at halftime, but like they have to fast forward through us, like not realizing that the recording has started. They're like, no, wait, they're not there yet. Just staring at the camera. Oh Lord. I mean, Louisville by 1,000, and don't gamble on this. Like, please do not do not do that. Next game. I really think this game's going to be great. And the Alamo Bowl traditionally has been really solid. Like even when teams don't show up, it's still fun because both teams' defenses don't show up, and it's just like a crazy, crazy experiment. Number 14 Arizona against number 12 Oklahoma at the Alamo Bowl, December 28th, Thursday. I don't have a timeout. 6:15 on ESPN. Arizona is a 3-point favorite in this game. This is going to be so fun. I'm really excited to see. I think Arizona actually shows up to this game, and I think Oklahoma probably shows up to this game too, to as much as you can for a bowl game. I know Jordan Morgan, Arizona's left tackle, is out. I think a couple other players have opted out of the game, but for the most part, like, this is a big game for Arizona. This is one of the best years they've had. They want to have some momentum going into the future. They get the extra practices. Now on the other side, Oklahoma, like, I mean, after last year, which was extremely disappointing, to come back 10-2, have a chance at really having a solid season, I really think that team gets up too. What do you think, Rob?
I mean, the interesting thing, I mean, of course, like Dylan Gabriel's gone, so Jackson Arnold, their highly touted younger quarterback, is going to start, but he's got to have a good game because, you know, part of the engine of this Oklahoma team is this offense. They're number 5 overall in Bader Inc., but they're not great running the football. They're at 27 overall in effective rush versus number 7 in effective pass. Now, they get an Arizona defense that's like 36 overall in Bader Inc. they're definitely better against the run than they are against the pass, although I will say, like, Takario Davis, I think, is particularly good on that team. Arizona also has a pretty good special teams advantage, number 14 versus number 43 overall. But this Arizona offense is, like, right behind Oklahoma. They're at number 6 overall in Bader Inc. They're at number 5 in effective pass since Fifita took over, number 44 in effective rush. They get a really balanced Oklahoma defense, number 16 overall in beta rank, number 20 in effective rush versus number 20 in effective pass. This has all the hallmarks of a really, really good game. I mean, like with Dylan Gabriel gone, I think that does, you know, even it out a little bit. Arizona's defense is a little worse than Oklahoma's defense is. Here, but I think like with Jackson Arnold, unless he comes in and just has a lights out game, like Fifita's played really, really well. I mean, again, like this Arizona team feels like they've gotten better and better as the season has gone on. I feel like more practice and more time to game plan would be good. The one thing to keep an eye on, I would say, is like, and this used to be true in the playoff with Clemson, is like Brent Venables with time to plan can be a problem. like Brent Venables with time to like study how you game plan and call games can be like a real pain in the butt in a bowl game. And I'm interested to see kind of what he's got, if he's got, cause like there are some bowl games where like Clemson wasn't the better team and Venables just kind of won in the game with a great game plan and play calling.
Yeah. The other thing to keep in mind is if Tatora McMillan does not play in this game, I think that's a massive blow to Arizona. I haven't heard of him opting out, but I haven't heard of them.
He's
saying,
too young.
Like,
yes, he's got another year before he can declare for the draft.
Well, good for him. Yeah. National television. Yeah. I think they probably get that.
I mean, he's going to play. Fafita's going to play. I mean, Arizona, I mean, other than more, I mean, and Morgan's a huge loss. He's a likely first round pick. For Arizona. But again, we've talked about this, like the offensive line coaching in Arizona has actually been really good. I wasn't sure about Pete Carroll's kid, but mea culpa. I was very wrong. He's been really good.
He looks like an incompetent coach for some reason, where he's like, because he's like kind of like gruff, and he looks like a good old boy that's like, oh, and then I'm like, wow, good for you. You put together a good offensive line.
He really has. Yeah.
Let's do, we have three more bowls. Let's do two. Let's do the national title game on its own. Rob,
the playoff game on like Friday or something.
That's right. But let's do the next two bowls. We have Oregon State, Notre Dame, and Liberty in Oregon. And let's do it right after this. Okay. We're back. The opposite of the fun bowl.
Oh, this is the,
like, oh, I love it though. The Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl is like my favorite bowl of the year. This game is always stupid. Like, please know, with tears in my eyes, please know this game is so dumb and it will be dumb.
Who is starting at quarterback for Oregon State?
That is a question. That's a question. Notre Dame gets bumped to the Sun Bowl, right? Like, I doubt Sam Hartman plays in this game.
No, he's not. And they just lost their offensive coordinator to become the head coach at Troy.
And Vegas knows, because I like, before the lines came out, I'm like, oh yeah, like this is where I make my money. Under on the Sun Bowl, always go under on the Sun Bowl. The total is 41.5. Vegas is on top of this stuff. They know what a mess this game always is. And then you have the fact that we don't know who the quarterback is for Oregon
State.
It's
Bengal Branson.
Aiden Child.
Yeah, because Aiden Child is going to Michigan State.
Oh, I know that, but I thought Gold Branson would have transferred. We were just talking about like who, you know, Oregon State falling apart. Gold Branson as a true freshman was fine. Like, I actually thought he was.
I thought he could still develop. I mean, like, he's actually, the fact that he's sticking around is not bad for them.
Yeah, good for him for sticking around. Okay, I feel a little bit better about that because like he's not a bad quarterback. Notre Dame is a 6.5-point favorite in this game. I mean, look, Oregon State lost its linebackers, its defensive. Like, I mean, this is bad.
The offensive coaching staff is gone.
But I mean, like, how many of the offensive linemen are going to be out? We don't know yet. And that's such a blow that Mihalcek picked up and went. Like, he's going to bring some people with him.
He's
going to
get paid. So he's getting paid. Michigan State's got crazy. We've talked about this Michigan State has a lot more money than people think.
Yeah. Yeah. And good for him. He here.
Yeah.
There. He should 1 hour have used ago, exhaustion.
Trent Bray says Damian Martinez will not play in the Sun Bowl. I don't think Notre Dame is going to be like as good without Hartman. And I don't think, I mean, but like truly that line is like about where it should have been. Like if these teams were at full strength playing on a neutral field, Notre Dame should be favored. BetaRank had it about almost five, and a little bit closer in the predicted score, 29, almost 30 to 26, almost 27. So about 3 points in the predicted score. Given how Oregon State has just been decimated, I think it's nuts that it's still six. I think that's crazy. Like, I mean, maybe it is just Sun Bowl voodoo. But that
does Notre Dame have like the Catholic Latino like edge in the crowd, right? Like none of the actual Notre Dame fans come down there, but like
Notre Dame travels really well. Like, Notre Dame does travel really well. It is hard to think of El Paso is possibly it's got to be like the most isolated large American city, right? Like, I mean, it's a pretty good sized city, and
and there's nothing
close to like it. Albuquerque is a hike. I mean, Albuquerque is like 4 hours, I mean, 3.5-4 hours away. But like all of the rest of Texas is forever away.
Is El Paso? Yeah, El Paso is bigger than Boise.
I mean, but it's crazy. Is like if you look across, like, because like it's just all in this valley, and like Juarez is right across the border, and you look across the valley, you're like, holy crap! Like this is actually would be a huge city. Juarez is an enormous city, and El Paso is a smaller, you know, but like it's a good sized city. I mean, maybe Notre Dame has like has an edge in. I mean, I would expect them to have an edge in fans. I don't expect Oregon State has a lot of enthusiasm right now going on things, and Notre Dame fans do travel. I don't know. I mean, I would pay to see in this game is all the old white Notre Dame fans eating hot Mexican food in El Paso and just that's all those people we saw when we went to Notre Dame game this year, just eating like the hottest Mexican food you can find. Like that I'm in for, sign me up.
my favorite, I should do this when we move to the next podcast. I need to find the collection of like as somebody who's Mexican, like my favorite moment of this game is when the coach just put on the giant sombrero, and like I see like my whole wall plastered with like each coach with the giant sombrero.
Oh, I mean, I want it to be Freeman too, because like I mean he's a cool guy. Like, but it'd be funny. I mean, of course we are rooting for Trent Bray and the Breeze in this game. I mean, if they pull it off, this is like a Christmas miracle, and he will have some momentum going into the off season, like which would they desperately need. But this Notre Dame defense is pretty good. You know, their offense got a lot better this year, I got to look and see if they're, I just saw Parker got the Troy job today. I don't know that he may still be coaching in this game, given how close they are to the game. But, this should be a tough one for the Beavs. I don't know. I mean, we still got to think of a name for this Big Ten podcast that is like coming up upon us.
Like way too early. I'm literally like Wikipedia in the Sun Bowl, and I'm just gonna get screenshots
this is like a little risque, but isn't the Sun Bowl the one where they were doing like the aerial shot, like the blimp shot, and it was like there's a couple hills that you can see the Sun Bowl from, and there was the one where like the couple it was like I ended up on national television. The Sun Bowl has everything. I'm almost positive. Now we're going to look that up.
NSFW.
I'm almost positive that is true. It was not at the Sun Bowl. I mean, at the actual Sun Bowl. So this is like the semantics of this are going to sound dumb, because the football stadium is the Sun Bowl. So it was a UTEP game at the Sun Bowl where this happened. And ESPN cameras caught it.
College football is the best. I love it so much. So enjoy the Sun Bowl while you watch it. This, like, this is the dumbest, best bowl that you should watch. Like, of all the ridiculous bowls, look, the Duke's Mayo Bowl gets all the attention because they pour the mayo. Like, no, this bowl, if you want dumb college footballness, this is the game for you. All right, last game, January 1st, New Year's Day, Liberty Bibbidi, 13-0, going to the Fiesta Bowl to play Oregon. Oregon is a 17-point favorite. Bo Nix is going to play in this game, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I think they smoke Liberty. Like, I really do. I think that, like, Lanning has this team still, like, they're still pissed. The fact that Nix is playing, I think he has the team bought in. I'm curious what the matchup here says. I haven't watched a moment of Liberty this year.
About Liberty is, like, look, Will Stein was one of the best offense, like, maybe the best offensive coordinator hire of the season. Like, he did a phenomenal job of what was already a really good offense at Oregon. Jamie Chadwell, absolutely electric. Like, people like Hugh Freeze had Liberty rolling offensively. Jamie Chadwell cranked that up a lot. Offensively, like, this should be a really fun game. This is the number two overall Oregon offense. They're only behind LSU this season. They're number one in effective pass. They get a truly horrendous Liberty defense. I mean, they're not bad for a group of five team, I should say. They're at 81 overall, but they're at 97 in effective pass versus 59 in effective rush. Like, Nix and everyone should get literally everything they want. But this offense for Liberty is at number four overall in beta rank. They're really good. Like, Jamie Chadwell can absolutely frickin' coach. And they're at number one overall in effective rush. Now, they're not a great passing team. They're at 61 overall in effective pass. So they're not going to get, this isn't like the Washington game, which is like, Washington was like a really bad matchup for Oregon. Like, Oregon ended up playing a really light box against Washington because they were worried about getting beat by Odunze, who they doubled all game. And so Washington was able to get some rush yards. Like, they shouldn't have to do that against Liberty. They should be able to play even a heavy box against this Liberty pass. But they're at number seven in effective rush. This should be a pretty fun matchup. Oregon definitely has a significant advantage here. And they have, I mean, Beta Rank has it at about 13-14 in the predicted score, 44.5 to 31, almost 32. But it definitely is right around 17. I feel like the 14 points is probably about right. I think Liberty's offense is really good. I think Chadwell is an excellent game planner. And I think they will, be able to move the ball against Oregon, but Oregon's going to just put up a bajillion points on this defense.
Dude, Kaiden Salter is disgusting, yeah. Right? Like, yeah. 2,700 yards, 31 touchdowns, 5 picks, and then has run for 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns. Yeah. Like, that's super fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
This Liberty offense is really, get, like, it's a strength on strength. Like, they get the Oregon run defense, which is actually pretty good.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. I'm really looking forward to that game. That'll be a fun one to watch. Anything else before we pack up here?
No. I mean, we'll do one more Pac-12 podcast and then maybe we'll do a wrap up.
Two more, Rob. Come on.
Oh, yo, you have little faith. We'll have three more Pac-12 podcasts. Because if Washington wins the title, we have to do we have to go out on top. Like,
yeah. Oh, like champagne and a campaign all around. It'll be fun to see. Okay, cool. Well, thanks for tuning in. We got three more podcasts left before we get out of here. Thanks for tuning in. Sharp College Football for all your not gambling needs. Do not gamble on these games. Once more, like, please, for the love of God.
Unless you have information that's like someone isn't playing that nobody else knows.
Yeah, exactly. And guess who probably knows? Vegas probably knows. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and we will catch you next week.